Welcome to The Thriving Marriage, the podcast for those who want to get their spouse back in love with them and truly thrive.
You'll learn why 95% of people don't save their marriage and the secret method no one else is talking about that will change everything for you. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Let's turn tragedy to triumph.
Here are your hosts, international marriage experts, Mark Johnston and Heather Choate.
All right. Welcome everyone here to the Thriving Marriage Podcast. I'm Heather Choate. I'm grateful and excited to be here with you today. My cohort in crime here, Mark Johnston, our head marriage coach and the owner with me of High Thrive Coaching, Mark Johnston, is sick today. So I will be doing this solo with you guys. And I'm excited and grateful to be here with you talking about no. It doesn't take two people to save a marriage. So as you guys are watching live in the Thriving Marriage Facebook group, let me know if you can see and hear me okay. We always stream these live and to our group to make them really impactful for you so that we get your comments, we get your feedback. So let me know where you're joining me from today and what your experience is with a spouse that isn't willing to work on the marriage with them. So we had launched a poll like we usually do a post over in the Thriving Marriage Facebook group. And we asked you guys to fill in the blank. I can only save my marriage if fill in the blank. So what comes up for you right off the bat? I can only save my marriage if, as we expected, we saw a lot of answers like if my spouse will work on the marriage with me, if my spouse is on board, if I'm not the only one wanting to, it takes two to tango, all right? And so we're going to show you today how that simply is not true. And that's a bold statement, I understand, but we're gonna prove it, and I'll show you how we do that in a little bit. But before we get to that, I'm gonna share our client win of the week, Jenny, our rising star in the group. She said, "When a husband is coming around slowly, I can feel his hesitations. Nevertheless, we are in a better place and at more ease. He was touching me yesterday." This is from having been stonewalling and turning away for 9 months. "This program is working. I am learning and I am enjoying the journey. There is hope for you all." And I love that. So thank you, Jenny, for sharing. And that's awesome. From stonewalling and turning away for 9 months to now feeling that things are more at ease, even though she can feel some of his hesitations. Now he's touching her and they feel like this is absolutely working and there's so much hope. So that's what we're going to go in today. And to help you get some clarity here on, is there hope for my marriage, even if my spouse isn't willing to work on it with me, what can I even do about it? All right. So welcome everyone watching me live. Hi, I can see some of you. Welcome, welcome. Excited to have you here. And let me know again in the comments, is your spouse willing to work on the marriage with you or not? And what has your experience with this been? All right, so a little bit of background, because I thought this would be fun. So you know, if you've been following us for a while, like Mark and I have been helping tens of thousands of students now, tens of thousands of couples all around the world to save their marriage. And we've been doing this for a long time. We actually launched in 2016, so we've been doing this for over 6 years. At the beginning, when we were first wanting to create this, I don't know if you guys know my background, but I came from, you know, fighting breast cancer, being given a 5% chance at life, you know, to overcoming the odds and through a lot of faith and perseverance and uncovering my limiting beliefs, was able to survive that. And in that journey, Mark Johnston, my business partner here, his wife was following me. We'd been friends since college and we came together and we had this common vision that we wanted to be able to help save marriages and help people not just survive the challenges in their life, but to truly thrive through them, right? And so that's kind of our saying is don't just survive, but thrive, because challenges come to all of us. That's just part of being human. It's what we choose to do about it, right? And so we had this vision that we wanted to be able to help people in an impactful way. And I saw that so many people were struggling like I was, and they had all of this limiting belief and all of this fear, and that the same patterns continue to show up in their lives over and over and over again, and that couples were continuing to have the same patterns show up for them over and over and over again. And so we were like, okay, we want to be able to help couples break through that, and specifically help people that are on the verge of divorce to turn that situation around. We'd never created an online business. Mark had gone through his background with, with therapy and all of that. So he had that background, but he realized that wasn't effective to really create the levels of change that we wanted. So we sought out a business coach to be able to help us put this whole thing together and learn what to do. Okay. And they said, come up with a really bold statement. Okay. Something that totally goes against the grain and is going to differentiate you from other people in the marketplace. Okay. And so this is when we're just barely first starting. And I said, well, what if the common, the conventional wisdom is that it does take two to tango. So what if I said that we could save people's marriages even if their spouse wasn't willing to work on it with them? Our coach was like, yeah, that's a bold statement. And so we went with it. And this is one of our very first posts and our very first ads that we ever launched. And I'm just going to read it because this is what has brought us to this day. Okay. So the post went like this: is your spouse checked out of your marriage? And of course, most of you here are going to be like, yes, my spouse is checked out of my marriage. And at times in my own life, that's been very true as well. I'm going to go against the grain here and make a bold statement. One person can save their marriage without their spouse's initial commitment, and I can prove it. Oh no, I'm losing my screens. Where'd they go? I was moving stuff around. All right. There we go. I think you guys can all still hear and see me okay. All right. Let me know if lost audio or anything. That was weird. All right, let me start over. Is your spouse checked out of your marriage? I'm going to go against the grain here and make a bold statement. One person can save their marriage without their spouse's initial commitment, and I can prove it. Husbands and wives who start pulling away from a marriage do so for one reason. They're looking for something better, some way to feel happy. What if you knew what that was? What if you knew how to provide that? What if you knew how to deepen your connection, gain back trust, and put the pieces back together? We've proven it now with tens of thousands of couples. Okay, so this was a bold statement that I had made, launched, put it on Facebook, made it public. And at the time, we had a belief that it could happen, but we hadn't yet proven it. Okay, and now, after helping so many tens of thousands of couples, we absolutely have proven it. And so that's the power of intention, first of all, which we're going to talk about, the power of your own intention about going against the grain. Because if you're willing to do this on your own, you are going against the grain, right? I went against the grain when doctors told me I needed to abort my baby to save my life. I said, no, that does not fit for me. I cannot do that. And for me, that's not the right journey. My heart and my soul are calling me to keep the baby and to risk my own life if needed for the sake of my child. And so that was going against the grain. It was going against the grain to say, you have a 5% chance of making it to 5 years. And now I'm still alive, 6.5, 7 years later, right? And so going against the grain here. So I get it that there's a lot of people in our culture, in our lives. They may even be your friends, they may be your family, they may even be maybe yourself, right? Or your counselor or your pastor or your therapist, or this guru out there, whatever, that are telling you that if your spouse isn't willing to work on it with you, then there's nothing that you can do, which actually couldn't be further from the truth. There are actually other things that we need to look at to see if the marriage can be saved or not, but they're not your spouse's commitment. They're not. And I can say that with absolute certainty because I've seen it so many times. So today, I'm going to share with you some of those clients' experience so that you don't just have to take my word for it. You can actually listen to what worked for them and that you can see the evidence yourself. I'm kind of one of those people like, I'll believe it when I see it. Where's the proof? Yeah, I want to be able to know that what you're saying actually works. And I also believe that results don't lie. So we've got a lot of results. And so not only am I saying this with absolute conviction, with everything in my soul and my heart, that you can do this and it is possible, but I'm going to show you some of the results as well. Sound good? All right. So what happens? And let me know in the chat. Yeah, I got Giovanni. Thank you. Says, yeah, I've been hearing that a lot lately now that my husband filed for divorce. So yeah, like you should just move on. What if your spouse is having an affair? You should just respect yourself, right? So what happens here, guys? Let me know in the chat as you're watching live, or in the comments later when your spouse is pulling away. What do you think most people do? And like I said, Mark and I have this beautiful perspective now of being able to help so many people that we get to see it from a very high level, and we get to see what the commonalities are. And we get it that when you're in it, sometimes you don't always see the big picture, right? But what do you do when your spouse is pulling away? What do you do when your spouse says, I don't want to go to counseling with you. I don't want to go to therapy. I don't want to go to that webinar. I don't want to talk to Heather or Mark, right? I don't want to do this program. I don't want to work on it with you. I don't want to end the affair. I don't want to change. You know, I'm not willing to do this. I don't want to honor my vows, right? And you're saying you should and all this stuff, right? So what do we do? What are some common things that we do? Well, the biggest one of all, because this is such a prevalent false idea out there, is that we just give up because we think there's nothing we can do. We've been bought and sold on the idea that it takes two to tango, and that if they're not willing to work on it, then there's nothing you can do. Now, I'm not saying that we can control the other person, because we can't. That's obvious. You can never control the other person. But what happens here is that we give up because, like we said, you know, maybe your pastor told you to give up. Maybe your bishop or your counselor or your therapist or your friends, or you read it in a book or you heard it on a podcast or a YouTube video or something, right? And we have this idea that there's only so much I can do. And the reality is that there's so much more that you can do than you realize. And people stop like 10% of the way in, and they haven't even gone the full 90 or 100% to actually figure out what is possible, okay? And so we're stopping way too soon. And I get it, like it's really hard when your spouse doesn't want to work on things with you. It can be very discouraging, and it can be very exhausting when you're going about it the wrong way, which is what most people are doing. And that's what we help you not do. We help you do it the right way, right? We show you the exact right system to be able to do it the right way, so it's no longer exhausting and it's no longer as frustrating. I'm not going to say it's completely not frustrating, because that would be a lie, because it's going to be frustrating at some times, right? But we're actually doing things in the right way, which doesn't drain our energy. It actually fuels us. And like, I'm going to go back up here to what Jenny said. She's like, this program is working. I am learning, and I am enjoying the journey. Enjoying the journey. How different is that? Just check in with yourself right now from what you're experiencing right now. Are you enjoying the journey? Why would our clients say that they actually enjoy the journey? That they're learning, the program's working, there is hope, she's seeing evidence from her husband, they're in a better place, they're more at ease, he's touching her again. How can our clients say that? And how different would that be from what you're currently experiencing? Because I know that marriage challenges, relationship challenges, are some of the hardest, most awful, heartbreaking things to go through. So how could someone like this, Jenny, our clients here, say that they're actually enjoying the journey? Because they're actually doing what works, and they have the support system and the expert guidance that we give them, so that it actually can be enjoyable. It doesn't have to just be this awful, treacherous, gut-wrenching, exhausting process, right? That is the process that leads to divorce. What we do is radically different. So if you feel like you're on that gut-wrenching, heartbreaking, exhausting, frustrating, scary path, then you're not on the right path. But we can help get you there if you choose to. So, you know, and again, this whole idea of like, you know, everyone's telling me I should just give up. We've got Giovanni said there as well, that a lot of people have been saying that now that her husband filed for divorce. And so if you guys remember earlier in a podcast, if you haven't been listening to us for a while, I encourage you to go back and listen to some of the earlier ones. They're all awesome. But we have like 103 now, so it's quite a lot. But Mark talked about how earlier in their marriage, they were really struggling, and they had some big issues to work through. And they went and talked to their pastor or their bishop. And afterwards, you know, the bishop or pastor was like encouraging them, like, you know, this will be okay. And then afterwards pulled Mark's wife aside, Jennifer, and told her, you need to give up. There is no hope for this. You need to get out. And so that's really hard when we go to these people that we respect, and even they are telling us that there's no hope. And so it's really easy to feel like there's no hope and to give up. So that's when you really need to tune into your own heart and into your own soul. I believe that there's like a deeper, stiller part in each of us that actually knows truth. And that the rest of it is all this is like, I don't know, it's like this like fake persona that we've taken on and we're trying to like see everything through that lens. But when we actually clear all of that fear, all of that doubt, all of that like past pain and all of those past programming and past patterns and all the cycles that we've been in all of our life, and we just put that all aside and actually listen to what our inner self is saying, then we know truth. And more often than not, it says something very different than the messages that we're hearing outside of us. And having gone through that myself, I encourage you to listen to that, because perhaps for you, it's saying, I need to do this. I need to do this. I need to know that I gave my marriage everything I had. I need to know that I learned some skills here that I didn't have before. I need to look back on this time in my life, 3 years from now, 5 years from now, 30 years from now, and know that I actually became a better person through this challenge. And that I had the beautiful relationships that I've always been wanting my whole life. I actually allowed myself to have those and to experience those. And they weren't just a dream or a wish or a fantasy anymore. They were my reality. And I'm so grateful that I did that. I'm so grateful that I can look back without the pain of regret that I didn't try. Because right there, my friends, like that is the biggest pain that any of us will ever experience, is the pain of regret, of knowing that we didn't take the opportunity when it was given to us, that we didn't grow, that we didn't change, that we didn't become a better version of ourselves. Okay, because challenges, like I said, we know this. This is nothing new, right? If this is earth shattering to you, then okay, you know, you haven't been on the planet long, but life is full of challenges, right? And so when these challenges come, we can see them as the worst thing ever and feel like a victim and choose to play small and choose to let these things continue to show up in our lives. Or we can see them, as I do, as a beautiful gift, as an opportunity that life's giving us to learn and to grow and to become better if we let it. It's our choice. And it's okay. Life will continue to give you the challenges until you decide that you're going to become a person that's greater than those challenges. And that's the biggest shift that I see in our clients. And I'm going to share, again, like some of their stories here in a little bit. It's the most beautiful part when we go from feeling like a victim to everything to feeling like we need to change something outside of us, or our spouse needs to change, or they need to do something else to make us feel better, to realizing that the things that we actually want are already within us. And that we can find that. And when we step into our own personal power, then we become like a rock and storm that cannot be moved, right? We say, you know, yeah, this is a bad storm. This is an awful challenge, but I'm okay no matter what. And that gives you that absolute peace and security, acceptance, self-love, unconditional love that you cannot get anywhere else. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. All right, what else do people do? Let me know in the chat. Let me know in the comments, you guys. What else do people do? So most people give up. You're not here because you're one of those. You're here because you want to see what's possible. Otherwise, you would not be listening to this, right? If you already believed that and you already gave up, then you wouldn't be the people that I'm talking to right now. But there is a tendency to feel a little hopeless or to wonder how much effect do I actually have here? And that's where I can say, after working with so many tens of thousands of couples, that you have so much more influence than you realize, okay? And the hard part is that when your spouse is pulling away, and when they're saying, I love you, but I'm not in love with you, I want a divorce, I want separation, I'm not happy here, you won't change, all of these different things, I'm in love with someone else, it feels like they have all the power because they're calling the shots, right? And it feels like they have so much power right now because they're the ones that are taking these actions and doing these hurtful things and sometimes unhealthy or destructive things. And you can't make them do it with you, right? And so it feels like you don't have as much power, but that's not true at all. And I'll show you why. All right. What else do? We demand. We demand that they work on it with us. We demand that they come back to us. We demand that they go to counseling or therapy. We demand that they come listen to this program or do this book with us, or we demand that they honor their vows. We demand that they solve these challenges with us. We demand that they end the affair and be faithful. And all these things that we say or ask or demand our spouse to do. But what happens? What happens to you when you've already made up your mind that you don't want to do something and now someone's telling you you need to do it? Does it make you want to do it anymore? No, it only makes you dig your heels in more and make that even more of a firm decision that I'm not going to do it, right? And so what happens when we make these demands, and we might feel justified and we might be justified. I mean, they did make a vow and they are going back on it, but to them, they don't care. And so when we make these demands and we put this pressure on them, it only pushes them further away. And that's where we see a lot of people that are listening to this and are wanting to work on things making a big mistake. Is that they're putting these demands on their spouse and they absolutely backfire. So if you don't want your spouse to go further away from you, we've got to stop the demands, even if they're justified, because they're just not going to work. Okay, we got to realize that that promise they made doesn't hold any weight anymore. Not for them right now. And that's hard. I get it. That's really hard. But that's the reality. And so you need to determine, do I want to push them away more and keep doing what doesn't work, what's ineffective, what's backfiring? Even if my intentions are good, it's backfiring. Okay, and I'm here to give you that perspective from a lot of love, even though it's hard to hear. Okay, because I want this. I'm here to help you get where you want to be. And if that's not where you want to be, then that's one thing we got to stop, is the demands. What about the manipulating? Like, I'm going to take the kids. I'm going to ruin your credit. I'm going to take all the money in your bank. I'm going to ruin you financially and ruin your business and your reputation. Or you're saying, hey, if you go sleep with that person, then I'm going to go sleep with whoever I want to sleep with, right? And we make these manipulation attempts. And we do it as like a scare tactic to try to get them to come back to us. But does it ever work? No, like it never works, right? So let me know in the chat or the comments if you've been making one of these mistakes. Okay, and there's one more that we're gonna talk about here. But it's really common, and I've done them myself, you know, feeling like it's hopeless, demanding, manipulating. And then the last one here is begging. Please don't go. Please give me another chance. Please don't do this. Please, I'm begging you. Please give me another shot. Like, I'll show you, I'll do anything for you, right? I'll do anything. Please don't do this to the kids, right? And we beg and we plead and we become really, really desperate. So let me know what of these, I'm putting this in the chat, you have done in your life. These you have done. I can't really talk and type at the same time. I'm not that awesome yet. All right, so let me know. I'd really like to hear, because if you're making one of these, you might have just had a big aha moment. A lot of people do when they hear this for the first time, and it kind of like hits you like a ton of bricks, right? Or like kind of like a smack up the side of the head, like, oh my goodness, I have been begging, I have been desperate, I have been manipulating, or I have been demanding, or I have just been feeling really hopeless or freezing out of fear and doing nothing, right? And so when you realize that that's what you've been doing, then you can start to do things in a different way, which hopefully is a powerful gift for you. Yeah, Nathan says the begging. Yep, appreciate that, Nathan. And again, you're not alone. All right, so contrast that, okay, what most people do, giving up, feeling like there's nothing they can do, on and on and on, to what our clients experience, right? And Joanne, Diane, Scott, thank you for sharing. I'll try to circle back into those situations if we can. Giovanni, I begged and pleaded in the past. Thankfully, I realized that that was backfiring. Yeah, Melissa, hi. I've been talking to you. I've done most of them and they didn't work. Exactly. All right, so what works instead? Let's hear from Monica, okay? Monica has shared this with permission. Not all of our clients want to share publicly, and that's totally fine. Most of them don't, but a few do because they want to inspire other people, because they're like, oh my goodness, I was where you are and I want to help. For no other reason than I just want to pay it forward, right? So Monica shares, when he wants to work on our relationship marriage, we both agree we have a long road ahead of us to repair and grow from what brought us to the brink of divorce. I am hopeful for a future and grateful for the guidance and mindset help I've gotten through this course so far. This is the first time since last January that my husband has made any declaration that he's willing to try. So when Monica first came to us, her husband wasn't willing to work on the marriage at all. And this was almost for a full year here, last January. So how do you think that he came so far when he was not willing to work on it? Okay, I want you guys to pay attention to some commonalities in these client stories, you know, their experiences I'm sharing with you. So how did he go from not wanting to work on the marriage at all, okay, and he wasn't willing to try, to now they're hopeful for the future, grateful for the guidance and the mindset, and they were on the brink of divorce, and now he wants to work on our marriage, okay? I want you to pay attention, all right. Silas, Silas was a, yeah, awesome, awesome guy. All right, super struggled, super dark past, super, super dark past. Came so, so far. I'm so proud of him. All right, I'm a born skeptic, he said. Save my marriage on my own. When I first saw your ad and read your emails, I thought, yeah, right. Well, happy to say I was wrong. I learned that you can't get what you want from doubt. Fear was keeping me back from everything I wanted. I took a leap of faith. That leap has brought my wife back to me. She moved back in on Thursday. Pretty big stinking win. Thanks, y'all. Oh, yeah, I can even hear his, you know, country twang there. Just as I'm reading this, I'm not very good at voices. Otherwise, I might have tried it. But Silas's wife was leaving him for a man 10 years younger than him. Okay, when he first came to us. He had tried counseling for 3 years with her, but she kept slipping further and further away to the point where she wouldn't go anymore, and she didn't care, she didn't want to try, and she was in love with this younger man. And so did you guys catch that crucial difference that helped his wife leave the other man and move back in with him? Okay, and by the way, they're truly one of the happiest, cutest country little couples you'd ever meet, and not just on the outside, but truly in their lives and their kids, their teenage sons. They are so, so happy. And I hear from one of their sons, and it's just awesome that he says, thank you for helping my mom and dad. And it makes me teary because it's awesome. And I hope that for your kids too. All right, another one. Ooh, I'm getting teary because this is just, it's just awesome. All right, Carlos. Huge win. She drove an hour to come see me and tell me that she loves me, and we all live under one roof again. God works in mysterious ways. We are still going to work on both of us being better people, but I am ecstatic. I have my best friend back. And this was posted over in one of our members groups, and Stacy and Stephanie and Sarah all were saying, wow, that's so wonderful. It's amazing. So inspiring. And we're so happy for Carlos as well. So here's Carlos. How do you think he got his best friend back? So did you guys catch the commonalities with all of these, right? And it's true of 90% of the clients we work with, okay? Drum roll, put it in the comments. Let me know, what are the commonalities? It should be pretty obvious here, but they were willing to work on the marriage first. They didn't wait for their spouse to get on board, and that's the first biggest mistake that most people make. Where other people told them, you know, even their counselors, even their coaches, their pastors, that there was no hope. Even themselves, sometimes they were saying there's just might not be hope here. You know, I love that Silas was so skeptical, and he really was. He was so skeptical. He was like, yeah, right. And then he took that leap of faith, and that leap brought my wife back to me. She moved back in on Thursday. Pretty big sinking win, y'all, right? So they found hope, even when it seemed hopeless. By learning to do what works to get your spouse to come back, even if they're checked out, which is exactly what we help you do. And so I hope by now you can see that there is so much more influence that you have in the relationship than you realize. So imagine like some kind of mechanical system, right? My husband used to be a mechanic, you know, car engines and stuff like that. Now he flies airplanes, so it's a lot of, you know, mechanical stuff going on in my life. And I'm not mechanical at all. But just imagine this, right? If you've got this system and you've got this, you know, mechanism working, if you change half of that system, like half of it, you throw out, take half the engine and put in a whole new, I don't even know, maybe not half the engine because that wouldn't really work. But, you know, if you put in a whole new engine and you change the radiator and you leave everything else the same, like I said, I'm not a great car person, but just imagine you change half of everything under the hood, okay? You replace half the parts and fix half of everything, then the entire thing changes, right? The entire system changes. And so you may feel really hopeless here. You may feel a little bit powerless. You may feel like your husband or your wife is calling all the shots and that you're just kind of at their mercy right now, right? But when you change your part, the whole system changes. And it is powerful and it is beautiful, okay? All right, I'm gonna go over here to some comments because I've got a lot of them coming in. Alyssa got that. Scott, my wife is sleeping at home during the school week. She acts like I don't exist. Yeah, I'm beginning to think it's too late to save our marriage. So Scott right there, when we're looking at, is it too late to save a marriage? Is it possible to save this marriage? Our criteria, again, is not, are they willing to work on it? Not, are they talking to me or not? Not, are they having an affair or not? That's not the criteria. That's the criteria most people have because they don't realize it's actually possible. I know with scientific accuracy what is possible. And that's why we always start our clients by doing a deep root assessment. It's kind of like the saying, I heard it in an audiobook yesterday, so let's see if I can get it right. Like, you can't read the label when you're in the bottle. Okay? I think I got it right. So if you're in the bottle, you can't read the label. You're in the bottle. You do not have the perspective and the expert understanding to know what's really going on here and what's possible. Scott and everyone else here, right? And Derek, yeah, it's hard fixing things on your own, but as long as there's hope, I suppose there's a chance. Exactly. And so we help you actually understand what's on the label. What is possible here? And we look for a couple key markers. We look for how much are you actually communicating? Because if you're communicating even one or two times a month, there's hope for you. We've proven it. If you're not communicating at least one or two times a month, then things do become more challenging and it might be too late to save the marriage. And we will let you know that because we're totally transparent. We're here to help you get the best result and the best life and the best future possible. Okay? So if you're not communicating more than one or two times a month, even if it's surface level, even if it's about the divorce, even if it's just about the kids, it doesn't matter. As long as you're communicating at least one or two times a month, then there's hope. Okay? We also look at other factors like, you know, physical or sexual abuse. In that case, it's too late to save the marriage and you need to move to healthier situations. Okay? But what we've seen is like 95 to 98% of the time, that's not the case. The case is that you're hurt and you're heartbroken and everyone's telling you it's not possible. And so you're believing that and you're just running with the hurt instead of choosing who you really want to be and what you want to have in your life. When you make that kind of a choice and you say, this is who I am, this is where I'm going, and I'm willing to do what it takes to get there, then watch out because your life's going to change, right? And so that's your choice. You get to choose where you want to go and who you want to be and what you want to experience in this life and what kind of a relationship you want to have. If you haven't had that conversation yet with yourself, then I encourage you to do that because I get it that sometimes when all these challenges come, it just feels like we're trying to keep our head above water. We just feel like another wave hits us and another wave hits us and another wave hits us and we're just trying to survive hour by hour, sometimes minute by minute. I've been there. I'm like, I truly cannot get off the couch. I truly cannot take one more step. I truly cannot get one more chemotherapy. I truly cannot face another minute of this. It's excruciating, right? And when you're in that mode of like survival mode, it's really hard to see where you want to go. But if you don't decide where you want to go, then who will? Who will decide that? Derek and Scott and Alyssa and Kat and Melissa, Giovanni, Diane, who will decide that? As you're listening to me, I want you to really pay attention to that because if you're expecting your spouse to decide that for you, if you're expecting them to suddenly miraculously turn around and come back to you and make all your fairy tale dreams come true, that's not going to happen at this point. And you don't want what your spouse is deciding, right? They've already made up their agenda and you don't want that to be your fate. Agreed? And, you know, as much as your mom loves you, she can't decide for you. You know, as much as your friends love you and care about you, they can't decide for you. Only you get to decide for you where you want to go, who you want to be, and what kind of relationship you want to experience in this life. So if you haven't had that conversation with yourself, then I encourage you to do that. If not, then you will just be like a victim to life. You'll be like a ship tossed about on the storm, and life is going to rip you to shreds. Because that's what life does when we don't have any direction to move us forward to overcome these challenges that are barraging us, right? So choose where you want to go. Choose that destination. My husband is a pilot, like I mentioned earlier, and every time before they go up in the air, they choose their destination, a single point on the map, and they say, I'm going here, right? I love to look over his shoulder, and I have no idea about any of this weird language of pilot language. It's truly a different language. But you know, they choose this little point on the map and they say, I'm going here. And then they have the whole flight plan. They estimate how much fuel, blah, 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 right? They prepare. And then when they get up in the air, I learned something that's really weird to me, that 99% of the time, they're actually off course. 99% of the time, they're actually off course from their destination, which I thought was weird. Because how do they ever get where they want to go if most of the time they're off course? And what I've learned that they do is they make these little course corrections. Here a little bit, there a little bit. Like we've got some crazy wind here in Colorado right now. It's just zipping and putting my patio furniture everywhere. So if you hear it in the background, that's what that is. Anyway, so you know the wind pushes them off course and they have to course correct and get back on course. Sometimes they have to make big course corrections, like an unexpected storm comes up. They were coming back from, I don't even know, somewhere in the Midwest, back home over the summer, and in Kansas, there were massive tornadoes. And so they had to totally divert and go several hours out of the way to avoid this major tornado, which was totally terrifying to me, of course, when I heard about it later. But they did fine. And sometimes air traffic tells them they have to go around again. You know, sometimes they have a military zone that they have to be aware of. And so sometimes there's these big course corrections they have to make. And the same thing is true for us. We choose our destination, right? You guys choose your destination, where you want to be. Where do you want to be 3 months from now, 6 months from now, 9 months from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 30 years from now? Where do you want to be? You choose that destination because only you can choose it. And then we help you make those course corrections. Sometimes those little course corrections, sometimes some big course corrections, like with an affair or healthy boundaries or addictions or narcissism or on and on, right? And we help you make those course corrections so that you get to that destination, okay? All right, I'm going to share with you guys one more story. This one comes from Tina. And when Tina first came to us, her husband and her were in roommate mode. How many people here have been in roommate mode or maybe are currently in roommate mode, right? They're simply co-parenting. No passion, no connection, not even really friends, just kind of living together, right? And it broke Tina's heart because it's not what she wanted for her relationship. And her husband even said, I'm only staying for the kids. So Tina, at this point, she felt trapped, she felt hurt, she felt scared. She didn't want to live the rest of her life with a loveless marriage. She didn't want to settle for that. But her husband was checked out and he refused to work on things. Sound familiar? Right? So Tina knew she could only control herself. She knew she couldn't make him do anything or change him. But she honestly just had no idea how to reach him. She said, in her own words, I wasn't sure I could save my marriage on my own. It seemed like such a difficult thing to do. But then I realized it was the only thing I could do if I wanted a shot at happiness with him. So she began a journey to save her marriage on her own. Okay? And you can actually listen to her story on our YouTube channel if you want. I will post the link. I've got it right here. I'll post the link in the comments on Facebook and the Thriving Marriage as I'm doing this live. If you guys want to listen to Tina's full story, you can check it out and listen to it in her own words. If you're watching this later, then just go check it out at the High Thrive Coaching is the channel. Just search that in YouTube, High Thrive Coaching, and you'll see Tina's story there. All right. So she was able to turn it around and she now says it is possible and you can do it on your own. So it's probably one of the best videos that you'll ever see and I encourage you guys to check it out, especially if you're wondering, you know, will this really work for me? And my spouse seems so far gone. I'm wondering if it's just too late. Remember that how we measure if a relationship can be saved or not is usually not what you're measuring it by. You're in the bottle. You cannot read the label. So if you're tired of your spouse pulling away further from you, if you want to turn things around fast, then I encourage you to book a Is There Hope? Let me get this right. Is There Hope for My Marriage assessment session with us? There's no cost for this assessment session, and we'll get you that clarity to know if there is hope for your marriage. The bad news is that we're like 80% full right now, and we book up really, really fast. So we only have about 10 or 12 spots open this week. As of the time I'm recording this, it changes, but we always book up really, really fast. So I encourage you to go do that quickly, as this podcast is typically seen by about 60,000 people a week. So 10 or 12 spots going out to 60,000 people. I wish it weren't so. We are trying to grow our team. In fact, we're actually looking to hire a new coach. So if anyone has any recommendations, let me know over on Facebook. We're doing interviews soon for that position. But there is the link there where you can go ahead and book that Is There Hope for My Marriage assessment session. And that's at highthrivecoaching.com/apply. And you can get on that call, totally no cost to you, and you'll get on a call with us as the experts so we can read the label on your bottle and we can see, is this a situation that can be saved? Is there hope for you? And if so, what are the next best steps to move forward and create a game plan with you so that you know what is possible for you? And just remember that there is more hope than you could possibly realize at this point, and that 95% of marriages can be saved. So encourage you guys to go check that out. Awesome. Awesome. Thank you guys for your comments over there. I love that Derek said, I can decide where I'm going. So empower yourself, choose where you really want to go, who you really want to be, what kind of relationship do you want to have in this life? And I also get a question sometimes, so I'm just going to do this one real quick before I go to the marriage mythbuster, which is, you know, Heather, this all sounds really great, but what if I do this whole program? What if I do all of this and my spouse we still end up getting divorced? And that really is a question of, is it worth it or not? Is it worth it or not? And that's a question you have to answer for yourself. Is it worth it for you alone to have learned how to become a better person and to uncover subconscious patterns that you may have been in since you were very, very young, since a young child, that continue to show up in your life? You know, I was just talking to one of my clients. He's been cheated on twice and he's concerned about it happening again. And when we're in that kind of a cycle, those patterns will repeat themselves until we uncover what's really going on underneath those things. And so is it worth it to you enough to learn how to uncover what subconscious patterns might be going on for you so that you don't keep experiencing these same issues in your life and in future relationships? Is that alone worth it to you? Is it alone worth it to you to learn how to actually communicate, how to build trust, how to empower yourself, how to find your own personal power, you know, how to feel like that rock in the storm that cannot be moved and shift out of fear and pain into hope and into peace? You know, to shift out of this confusion of, I don't know what to do. I don't know what's going to work. I don't even know what's happening. I can't focus at work. I can barely sleep at night. There's a constant knot of anxiety, or it just feels like I can't even breathe, or it feels like there's just weight on my shoulders pushing me down. And it's so heavy to shift from that kind of a place to having direction. I know where I'm going. I know why I'm going there. And I'm making those course corrections with your help so I can get there. Right? You guys choose your destination and we help you make those course corrections to get there. Is it worth it enough to go from overwhelm and stress and fear to clarity? I know what I'm doing and I know why I'm doing it. And that feeling there is one of the best feelings that you could ever have, so that you are no longer a victim to life, but you are creator of your own life's experience. And I'll be honest, like Mark and I are completely transparent. Not every marriage is saved. It's not. But our clients that learn to do these things and learn how to shift out of those past unhealthy patterns and to heal those unhealthy subconscious beliefs that are keeping you stuck and keeping you trapped, and you don't even often realize it, or you don't even realize that the things that you're doing you think are right are totally backfiring, they're absolutely ineffective. When you learn how to make that shift, then you look back, our clients look back, even if their marriage did end in divorce, and they say, I am so grateful I did this because I'm a better person. And now I have the skills that I just simply didn't have before. And I'm free from all of the weight of those past patterns and those past limitations. And I no longer feel like a victim. I no longer feel an intense amount of insecurity or, fear about my circumstances. I know that no matter what happens, I'm okay. And that is a beautiful place to get. Is that alone worth it to you? So you get to decide that. Either way, oh yeah, we got some more people that just booked the marriage assessment there. Is there hope for my marriage assessment session? Awesome, congratulations, excited to talk to you guys soon and help read the label on your bottle. Maybe that should be the title of this. Reading the label on your bottle. All right, on to the marriage mythbuster. Marriage mythbuster today comes from our audience, as it usually does, but marriage counseling or marriage coaching, which is what we do, very different than counseling, but it should be the last resort. How many of us have heard that? Like, I'm only gonna do it if things are really bad, or we just kind of see that this is happening out there, that people really aren't getting any help until things are really, really dire, right? So where does this come from? Like, where do so many people, why do they wait until things are so bad before they try to get help? All right, so let me know what you guys think in the chat, and here are some things that I've seen. So there's a stigma about needing help, right? Let's be honest, we've come a long ways with mental health and help and relationship health and help and emotional health and help, but there's still a stigma out there. You know, I've tried really hard to have my kids grow up without that stigma, and my teenage son still has it about his ADHD. He feels like, oh, there's something wrong with me, and I have to, you know, medication, and then why do I have to go to therapy? You think there's something wrong with me, and all of this stuff, right? We think that there's something wrong with us if we need help, which just couldn't be further from the truth, right? Is that it's okay. In fact, it takes a really strong person to admit that they're weak. And it's swallowing some of that pride so that you can say, yeah, I am willing to get some help with this. And I don't have to have all the answers. Why do we think we have to have all the answers and we have to have everything figured out and be so perfect? Ugh, it's just, ugh, I can't stand that. And then judging other people. We don't want to feel judged. We don't want people to think that there's something wrong with us or weird with us or, you know, messed up about us or something like that. So we have all this fear about accepting help, right? And recognizing that we even need it, and then swallowing our pride to say, yeah, I'm willing to do what I need to do to fix this. And it's okay. And then the fear of judgment from other people. And I like what Melissa said, people wait due to financial situations. Yeah, counseling and coaching are not in many people's budgets. That is absolutely true. That's one of the points I have here. They don't have the resources to put into it. They don't want to put money into it. Other things are a bigger priority to them. You know, what's really funny when we talk to people with their budgets, it isn't until like they've got attorney fees and like massive divorce costs coming up that they realize, oh, maybe I should invest a little money into my marriage, right? Because attorney fees are a lot, divorce is a lot, $30,000 on average, and you guys can help me for way less than that, okay, right? And sometimes we just have challenging financial situations. That is one of those waves of life that can hit you and knock you on the ground. I've definitely been there myself, and sometimes you're like, I just gotta put food on the table. And yet, if you look at most average Americans, where they're actually putting money though, they'll have their fancy iPhone, and they'll have this car payment, and they'll have their all their 10 billion subscriptions, half of them and they don't even use. And so it really is determining what is my priority. You know, what is my priority? Is my relationship actually the most important thing here? Or is it having this stuff around me that I think I need? Or putting my money into things that really aren't serving me. And I just feel like I'm supposed to do, or I just have to do for whatever reason. So it really is getting clear about those decisions, right? And then of course, another reason why people wait until things are so bad is because they just don't have, they're too busy. They're running the kids around, they've got practices and they've got the work and they've got the family and the friends and they've got all this stuff going on and they're just so busy that they don't make it as much of a priority, right? So all these things really fall into kind of two categories. There's the stigma about needing help, the fear about what it's going to mean about them, you know, and what people are going to think about them if they get help. And then, of course, it's just not a big enough priority. I don't want to put the time or the money or the effort into it. And so The bottom line is that relationships are just like anything else. It's one that we tend to take the most for granted because we built up a level of security with our spouse and this level of commitment here that we feel like we can just fall back on when times get tough. And sometimes in a really healthy situation, you can just kind of fall back on it and it will carry you through. We talked about that in a podcast a couple weeks ago with Mark, right? About the stages of life, that sometimes things are healthy enough that you can just kind of like stumble through a bad patch and it's okay. But for most people, that is not the case, okay? So just like anything else, relationships, they need to be prioritized. They need to be nourished. They need to be nurtured in order to thrive, all right? So I've got an apple tree here that's just like abounding in apples right now. I'm literally giving them away to everyone, homeless people. I mean, I've got bags and bags of apples. So if you need apples, come to my house, okay? There's so many apples. And I've got 8 kids and we still can't even like keep up with it at all. Anyway, so you wouldn't just take an apple seed and put it in the ground, you know, it sprouts and then you just ignore it. You know, you wouldn't feed it, you wouldn't water it, you know, and just expect it to grow into the apple tree that I have, right? Where it's producing abundant amounts of fruit, right? So this analogy is used all the time, right? Like of planting things and nourishing them and nurturing them, giving them the water and the sun and, you know, the soil and all that stuff, right? But there's other ways we can look at it too. Like how often are we cleaning our houses? We're cleaning our cars. We're cleaning our fridge, right? We clean our bodies. We take showers to clean ourselves. How often are we actually cleaning the garbage and the junk that we've built up inside ourselves, inside our own head? You don't realize that you can actually clean your brain. It's true. It's one of the most powerful mindset techniques that I teach, that I love. You can clean your brain. You can take all the junk that you picked up throughout the day or the week and you can dump it and your brain will let it go. If you don't, it starts to build and build and build and build, just like anything else that we don't clean, okay? So you can actually clean your brain. You can clean your own neurology. We exercise, we feed our bodies, we nourish them, we give them food, right? And we don't just ignore that part of our lives. We can't, otherwise we die. And yet somehow we think that we can't, you know, we can do that to our relationships and that they're going to be okay. And it couldn't be further from the truth. So we regularly maintain things that are important to us. Think about the things right now that you're regularly maintaining. My husband has a car that he absolutely loves. And so he is meticulous about his car, right? And so he maintains this thing. It's important to him, right? We put our time, our energy, and effort into things that are important to us. So what are you maintaining right now? Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's your kids, their education. Maybe it's your job. You know, maybe it's a friendship. But you're putting a lot of time and effort into something that is important to you. And so our marriages should be no different. We shouldn't have to wait until crisis mode to then try to turn things around. And I think we all know that, but in the good times or the easier times, it's easy to get complacent. And so having a good, healthy, thriving marriage long-term involves regular maintenance of the relationship, making it a priority. Mark and I, we have marriage coaches. We're marriage coaches, we're international marriage coaches, right? We have coaches ourselves to help us see things that we can't see, even in our own selves, even in our own relationship, even though this is what we do every single day. Because like I said, when you're in the bottle, you can't read the label. So we take time and invest and put money and resources and time and effort into our relationships so that they're not just, you know, we're not just turning to it in crisis mode, but that we're maintaining it and keeping it strong. We all know it's so much better to keep a car well-maintained or keep something well-maintained than it is to try to pull it from the brink of disaster, right? But I get it. You guys are here because that's most likely where things have gone. And it may be because of not having good maintenance or priorities. And it may be something completely different. I don't know. And that's okay if it's different. I'm not saying this is across the board. You guys were neglecting your marriages and that's why you are where you are, because that's not always the case. But what this myth here is that you should only go to get help for your marriage, coaching, counseling as the last resort. And I know you guys are here because you want to learn a different way of doing it. And so I encourage you to think about that, how you can do that, whether that's regular date night, whether that's healthy boundaries with the kids. That's something I have to do with my kids all the time. It's like after 8 p.m., like we're done. Like we are not your parents anymore. And I know Mark does that too. Like we love you, but this is our time and we need to protect and preserve that time, right? And it's cleaning out the garbage. It's getting the junk out so it doesn't build up and build resentment and create a much bigger issue over the years. And so, and it's, you know, for me personally, I got to take care of my mind. I got to do meditation. For me, that's like, I've got to get that fuel in the tank. Otherwise, I'm running on empty. One of my mentors talks about sucking mud, that you cannot help other people when you yourself, your well is dry, you're empty, and you're sucking the mud. And so what we need to do is make sure that we fill our wells, both personally and in the relationship. Personally, because I cannot give what I don't have. If I do not have it, I cannot give it, right? And so I've got to fill myself up with that first so I can give it to someone else. And then I need to up-level my skills. I need to up-level my understanding with my spouse. I need to up-level our ability to communicate, to be able to handle problems, to build our intimacy and our connection and have some more passion and romance, right, over the years. And so that is what I encourage you guys to do, to think about how can I not only overcome this challenge right now, which is where you're at, but down the road, when things are good again, how do we keep them good? And that's one thing that we are building out in our unified marriage program right now, which is like, let's not just like save the marriage and then get you to a certain point and then think everything is going to be great forever. We've got the steps to make sure it's strong and it's connected. You can talk about anything. You have a deep level of connection. You have a deep level of acceptance between each other. You can be who you really are and they can be who they really are. And you both feel safe and secure. And you feel heard, you feel seen, and you know that you matter to them and that they matter to you. All right, awesome. So thank you so much for joining me today. Next week, we'll be having a client interview with one of our clients, Christina, and she will be sharing with you guys exactly what she has done in our coaching program to experience some profound transformation with her spouse, or yes, with her spouse. So thank you so much for joining me today. My heart, my love, my appreciation flows out to you. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks for listening to The Thriving Marriage, your A to Z blueprint for not just surviving marriage, but thriving. Until next time, my friends, thrive on.